We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. He's Greg Pickle. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions and recruiting questions. If you don't know by now, if you download the Keystone Sports app, there's a nice, easy Ask Greg button to ask your question for our great Greg Pickle here. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where they have some awesome wines for sale. You can check them out at tailgatewine.com. You can also get them at every Penn State home game at the gopsurv.com lot. Some big things happening there. I recommend the Sapphire Blue, the blueberry wine. It's different, and it's delicious, just like all the other wines. tailgatewine.com. I've had three bottles this morning, so.
Well, you're ready to go.
Yeah, fired up. I'm ready, man. Let's see. So let's just get into the questions. We've got a bunch of them coming out of Ohio State, which I would have expected.
Shocking.
Yeah. Let's start with Joe from Jeanette, PA. Fair question here. What's happening with Lamont Wade? Is Penn State wasting his talent trying to make him a safety? Can't they use another cornerback?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I thought he was a guy that really was going to fight for more playing time and a chance to maybe even start this season, and then it just really hasn't worked out for him. You look at the snap count numbers he's had the last couple of weeks, and it just is not equivalent to what you would expect for a guy that most people thought was not only a big-time recruit, but also someone that I think most assume would be a big part of Penn State's defense by now. So, you know, it's the same question I think a lot of people ask about Micah Parsons. Is Penn State wasting his talent by having him at linebacker and not defensive end? You know, I don't know. There's a lot of guys with a lot more experience and qualifications than I am making these decisions. So if they think Lamont Wade should be back working in the safety rotation, then, you know, so be it. But I also think that as Donovan Johnson's out for a while, which we don't really know what his status is, you might see Wade slide back over to corner just because of depth reasons there alone.
And so in that kind of situation, like when you're playing in the nickel or whatever, what position you put next to a guy's name doesn't matter so much, right? What their responsibilities are. I think it's still too early. And I would use Garrett Taylor as a good example, that he made the transition from cornerback to safety. And I think on the outside, you want to believe and assume that because you can play cornerback, playing safety should be not a big deal. But
yeah,
Taylor was proof that it's going to take a little bit of time. Lamont Wade is still doing quite a bit of learning on the fly. So the jury very much still out on this one. I get the impatience because this is his second season now. I think if the coaching staff had to do it over again, they might have redshirted him last year.
Uh-huh.
He's learning a new position. He's a former five-star, so I do get that you should probably expect more. It's fair to expect more. But I think next year will be the determination about what Lamont Wade is.
Yeah, it's really hard for me because James Franklin made this point, I think it was before the season began, and it was in reference to Michael Bennett and the fact that a lot of people are forgetting how young he is and that the expectations for him, this is my way of paraphrasing what he said, not exactly what he said, but essentially that, you know, the expectations were so high that people forgot what reality was, I think, with Michael Bennett and when he'd actually get on the field. Is it the same thing for Lamont Wade? Maybe. But at the same time, I do think that there were expectations for him to jump in and be a part of this defense. We just haven't seen it yet.
Chris from Baton Rouge. One aspect of James Franklin's post-game rant, and I think rant is a good way to put it, he always makes an opening statement. It's always a little bit of a filibuster, and that's post-game, that's during the week, whatever. It's by design. He's got a lot to say. Then he said one aspect of it that nobody is mentioning was a brief mention of facilities. It's the second time in the last 6 months that he's brought up Penn State's substandard facilities. I think he's mentioned it, twice in 6 months, but it's been a pretty steady talking point.
I would say it's been like eight times in 6 months. Yeah. I really don't think it's just two. So the in the context of this, so everyone knows what we're talking about here, you know, he mentioned – I'm looking for the exact part of it, but – I don't know if it was app was definitely in the first part of his rant. I think it actually came a little bit later.
It's all on the making the leap from great to elite.
Right. Every single thing matters. I'm going to be all over myself, the coaches, the players, the trainers, the doctors, the facilities, the administration, all of it, because no one's happy with this. Well, obviously the facilities can't be happy or unhappy, but that's here nor there. But I think what his point is that remember when Penn State unveiled the master's facility plan, what, 2 years ago now, I guess, maybe even more than that. And, you know, the first 5 years, Beaver Stadium wasn't going to be touched, but some of the football buildings were going to be. And, you know, they have done some stuff there. But guess what? To do more, you need money. And I don't know if the donation train is growing the way or, you know, the way most thought it would. So I think that's why it keeps coming up, because they've done some stuff, but not everything. And, you know, he's mentioned, you know, they've done some work to Holuba Hall, but not as much as they probably wanted to. They've done some work to the Lash Building, but not as much as they wanted to, you know. I think the problem, his frustration, I would assume, is that they've been putting coats of paint, and this is just a generic example, more of a phrase than it is anything else, but they've been putting, you know, a coat over things that need completely redone the last couple of years. And if they want to make that jump, you can make the argument that, you know, the next step is better facilities. Not that Penn State's are bad, but certainly there's some nicer ones in the Big Ten and also across the country as well.
They're not groundbreaking, and you've seen groundbreaking all over the place. Alabama, Oregon, a bunch of others. Even Northwestern just got a brand new facility right on the lake.
I think they call it 6-6.
the 6-6 football facility, brought to you by Pat Fitzgerald. Chris from Pittsburgh, I can't wait to ask you this one. I know you got strong feelings. Chris says, on last week's show, you said repeatedly that Penn State needs to finish games and will be criticized until they do. Is you, meaning you?
Yeah,
Greg,
I did.
Or just us in general?
No, because I said finish the game about 19 times last week, yes.
But don't they, Greg, deserve credit for closing out Ohio State and Wisconsin late in the games of 2016 and Washington in the Fiesta Bowl?
Yes.
The 2017 and 18 Ohio State games, 2017 Michigan State game, and the Rose Bowl against USC were frustrating, but Penn State seemed to, quote-unquote, close out as many games as it doesn't. What's a realistic record for a team to have in games like this against equal or superior talent?
Well,
Greg?
I think what my point to this would be is that a lot of Penn State fans are frustrated because Penn State had a lead in the fourth quarter of every single one of these games, and they, you know, do you want to talk about great to elite? Your record better be better than, you know, as many as they, you know, they close out as many as they, you know, it should be we close out many more than we don't close out. Not, oh, well, we close out as many as we don't. That's average. That's not going to get you from, as Jane Franklin would say, great to elite. And, you know, Bill Connolly, again, you know, he wrote a tremendous article on the idea of, you know, what it takes to go to great to elite. And some of it's not really that easy to quantify, you know. So, but this is one that's going to quantify. If you want to go to the college football playoff, you need to close out fourth quarters that you have a lead and win the football game. So do they get credit for those ones? Yes, but they get an equal amount of flack, I think, for these more recent ones that, you know, stick in people's minds, especially with a team that had college football playoff aspiration, still does in this case, did last year until losing to Ohio State and Michigan State in back-to-back weeks.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a place to tailgate Friday night before Michigan State, 409 Tailgate Club has the answer for you. You can join them at gopsurv.com lot in Bellefonte anytime from 6 to 10 p.m. Friday night for a tailgate under the pavilion. $15 gets you a pulled pork or a kielbasa sandwich, a side and a glass of wine or frozen drink from the wonderful 409 Tailgate Club selection. I love the word wonderful in there.
Yes.
That's the tailgate under the pavilion at the gopsurv.com lot off Benner Pike in Bellefonte. Friday evening, 6 to 10 p.m. To purchase tickets in advance, you can go to tailgatewine.com. Randy from Warren, PA. Fair question here. Preseason, with the preseason retirements of Buchholz and Torrance Brown, I think most people would have said going into the season that the strength of the defense was its secondary. Do you think that the secondary is still the strength of the defense?
I think I would say that. Yeah, I think
it's relative.
It is relative. I mean, I don't know if I make any one position a strength, to be really quite honest with you. I mean, or one position group rather, a strength of the defense. I mean, there's been games where all three have shown really positive, good flashes, and then there's been games where that has been far from the case. So, yeah, I mean, I think that I would say at this point that that's the strength. But you're right, it is relative to the fact that the linebackers and the defensive line haven't shown up in every game so far this year.
Short and sweet, Matt from Camp Hill. Is Trevor Williams a better pro than he was a college cornerback?
Man, I would say so. I think that he was probably underrated in college, though, but he certainly has made a mark in the NFL, really in a positive way, in a way that I don't think many saw coming. You know, he's been a major factor for the Chargers, and he's been a guy that, you know, you don't hear his name every single weekend, but for a cornerback, that's typically a good thing. So good for him. I do think that that's an accurate question and statement.
It has pro dimensions, you know, and you saw that going in,
yeah.
But this is not a guy, I don't think Penn State had any fault or whatever. He just, his development, you know, he started, he was the number 1,230 player in the country in the 24/7 composite in his recruiting class in 2012. He was a guy that 2012 class, they had to quote unquote settle for a lot. He was kind of one of them. They were not getting blue chip talent at that point. One more question from Mike from Charlotte. I guess we have maybe more than one question. Says, Greg, I need your help trying to remove the emotion and answer a question with facts. Is Penn State elite yet? I think the answer lies in the D-line snap counts that the starting Penn State defensive tackle and defensive ends play more snaps than the Buckeyes defensive tackles and ends. Meaning, was Ohio State able to rotate first and second string more due to no drop-off in talent, and Penn State had to stick with its first string longer because the drop-off to second string is too much? I think Penn State's ones are as good as Ohio State ones. Debatable. That's my comment. Just not deep enough yet with that type of talent. They're great, not elite yet.
Well, so if you look at Ohio State snap counts, these are courtesy of 11 Warriors. Defensive tackle, they had one guy play 75, one play 36, one play 29, and then a smattering got a couple of snaps here or there. Defensive
end, the word smattering, by the way.
Chase Young played 76, Jonathan Cooper 58, and a couple other guys only 15 or less. So I don't necessarily know if Ohio – I don't think Ohio State really used that much more depth than Penn State did, quite honestly. It's just Ohio State's ones were more productive in this game than Penn State's ones. That's just the way it was. Don't get me wrong. Kevin Givens and Robert Windsor were great, but Draymond Jones was pretty darn impactful, and obviously Chase Young was too. Jonathan Cooper made some plays. They just had a better game, I think. I don't necessarily know that it's so much that Ohio State subbed more. I think it was just that their ones and their twos were better than Penn State's ones and twos on this day.
I think the difference was not in depth or usage. It was the fact that they had Chase Young and Penn State didn't have a Chase Young. And that's the difference with a lot of the – you know, one of the differences between great and elite in college football, you look at Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, they are loaded up front. In most of the cases on both sides of the ball, but especially on that defensive line, they have guys who can own the line of scrimmage that can wreck plays without having to get too creative defensively. And if you can do that, you can win games that maybe otherwise you wouldn't win. Penn State does not have elite talent on that side of the ball yet, especially inside a defensive tackle. They're trying to get there. They're making strides. They're taking steps, but those guys just aren't ready to play yet.
No.
You know, you look at what they brought in this past class, Judge Culpepper, P.J. Mustipher, Aeneas Hawkins, those guys are good players. They're going to be good players, but they're freshmen.
Right.
So that's the difference in this game. Chase Young ruined Penn State's game plan late, and Penn State didn't have an answer for that.
Exactly. The winner, Mike and Charlotte, that last question there was a good one, and I think we covered a lot of ground
there. We could have kept going and going and going. So there you go, Mike. Expect for us to reach out to you with a bottle of tailgate wine. I didn't even mention the winning question does get a bottle of tailgate wine. There you go. Thanks for tuning in this week. You can join us, ask questions at the Keystone Sports app using the Ask Greg button, and you can join us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club announces its tailgate under the pavilion. This Friday at the GoPSURV.com lot, anytime from 6 to 10 p.m. $15 gets you a barbecue sandwich, side, and a glass of wine or frozen drink from the wonderful 409 Tailgate Club selection. Tailgate under the pavilion, GoPSURV.com lot, just off Benner Pike in Bellefonte. Friday evening from 6 to 10 p.m. Purchase tickets in advance, go to tailgatewine.com.